I really am privileged to be with you today, today and tomorrow. Ken and Sharon have been our dear friends, as she told you, since 1973. Ken and I were close friends. And then he introduced me to the girl he was trying to pursue. You know, I mean, we were just good friends. And then we got married, all of us within about 6 weeks of each other. My husband was in seminary, and we lived in a mobile home. And then Ken and Sharon lived in a mobile home in the same trailer park. They don't call them trailer parks anymore, but that's what it was. And we had a great time. We've known each other's children since they were babies. And it's been a rich life. Rich life with wonderful blessings. Since Ken and Sharon are such dear friends of ours, and I know from our visits how much they love you, I came here already loving you, appreciating you and loving you because they love and appreciate you. And when we get together, we get to hear about how they love and appreciate you. And so that makes us love you, you know? How many of you are married to your pastor? That just gives me a place to start, okay? How many of you are married to your pastor? For 31 years, I was. My husband was the lead pastor for 31 years, and I loved it. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else, and I didn't think we ever would. And in all that time, though, we were missionary wannabes. We hosted missions conferences, and before the conference was over, he and I went forward. Almost every time. And we knew we would go wherever God wanted us to go. And two times we were in the process of applying to mission agency, and the doors just didn't open. I don't let myself go there too long. I'd get a complex about why they didn't take us. But they never rejected us. But the doors didn't open. And today it's my privilege to be with you representing Evangelical Baptist Missions. I'm someone now who gets to work directly with missionaries. How cool is that? I get to visit them. I get to encourage them. We get to pastor them. They are a group of people who need to be pastored, too. So that's what we get to do. We've been in this role since June. And in June, I moved 700 miles from Clark Summit to Indianapolis. And I have found that even when you know exactly where you're supposed to be, and you know what you're supposed to be doing, and you don't have any question about it, changes are difficult, and adjustments are challenging. And I come to you today not to tell you how to do anything, but I come to you today to just share some things that God is teaching me as He continues to work in my life and as He keeps me in a position of trusting Him. I'll just tell you, Ken and Sharon and I all just turned 55. And to mine and Sharon's dismay, Ken turned 55 after we did. Yeah. But we did just turn 55. My point in that is, when I was 20 and 25 and 30, I was so sure that by the time I was 55, I would really have Christian life figured out so well. I might have the whole Bible memorized by then. I would at least know all how to put into practice, all of it. When I was 20 and 25, and I just thought, by then, I will just have walked it so well and so consistently and practiced it all that I won't flounder anymore. But I'm here today to share how God is teaching me as I try to keep trusting Him. Okay? Would you pray with me as we start? Because I need that. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You. We come to You in the name of Jesus Christ. So thankful for the work that You have done and are doing in our lives. We thank You for the people You allow around us, the people that we minister to and those who minister to us. We thank You for the body of Christ. We thank You for the body that serves and loves one another and together. Father, please help me now as we look at Your Word and as we just look at some reflections of life and see just how You want us to continue growing. I pray that this hour would be profitable for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. I have asked you on the handout, and I would ask you to do this on the handout. Would you recall a time in your life when you were willing to obey God, but you didn't want to? Okay? You didn't want to do what He was asking. Now don't look at me like you never did that. Okay? You know, a time when you were willing to obey, but you wanted to vote no, but you were afraid to say no? Just think of that. Write down a couple of words. You won't read it to anybody else, and I won't look at it. But a couple of words that will remind you in the days of ahead of what that time was. You know, one of those times when you tried to make the best of it and you decided that you would. I will make the best of this. This is not my choice. This is not what I would have written. But if this is the assignment, I will stand firm and I will make the best of it. You voted no, but you still submitted. And we are called to do that sometimes too. Did y'all think of one? Okay. Perhaps during that time you were reminded of Psalm 37:4. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. That's the Lord He's talking about, okay? Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. Delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I've heard lots of slants on it, and I'm not here to tell you the right one, okay? I've heard people say, well, you know, if you do that, then your desires will change and they will line up with what God wants for you. Okay. Sometimes your desires completely change. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes you're all mixed up wondering what it is you want and you don't even know. Or you think you know what you want, but even as you articulate it, you know that's not what you're going to get. Sometimes your circumstances change. Sometimes your heart changes and aligns with your circumstances. And perhaps even now, as you look back on that time, you can reflect and say, okay, that turned out well, but I wish it hadn't had to be that way. maybe it should have been a little different. Well, in today's time together during this hour, I want to share a little bit about a personal journey, and I want us to look at Scripture, and then I want to prompt you to evaluate your desire for God and your desire for His will in your own heart. I'm just going to share where He's taken me, okay? I'm going to back up 11 years. 11 years ago, my husband and I were comfortably settled. We were in a church in a pastorate in Wisconsin. It was our privilege to be part of a loving, truth-seeking, giving church. I loved it there. It was the sending church of several missionaries, and it was the sending church of people out into pastoral and vocational ministry. But through a process, God made it clear that we were to move 1,000 miles to Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, and assume the pastorate of Heritage Baptist Church in Clark Summit. That was a painful process. And I, through that painful process, and Sharon's looking at me, she knows way too much about this, enough to embarrass me for years, okay? I'm not proud of my response. But I did accept it as God's will, and I was willing to do it. But I didn't want it. My children grew up in Wisconsin Rapids. Everything was going well. I loved it there. After we moved to Clark Summit, people would ask me, you know, I mean, just acquaintances, you know, why did you move here? Well, okay, I needed to have a good answer. And I didn't have one that I thought was pretty good. But my honest answer was out of obedience. I moved here out of obedience. This was God's assignment, and I moved here out of obedience. And I remember telling our church people, in a year or so, I hope that there will be a better answer. But for right now, that's all there is. And do you know, I think I thought that was a good answer. I think that there were times when I was even a little bit proud of it. Because, after all, I voted no. And I was still willing to accept God's will and to obey Him no matter what it cost me. Now, when I articulate that now, it really embarrasses me. But back then, I thought that was pretty good. So you can see that I was far from delighting in the Lord. In fact, my acceptance of God was probably much closer to tolerance than it was to delight. I've been a little intrigued by the word delight. I don't use that word very often. Except, of course, with my grandchildren, they do delight me. But what does it mean? We'll have to define it before we can go on. I don't know if you use it very much. Candy is called Turkish delight. I mean, but we don't use the word delight very often. We don't talk about that delighting me. We like that. We enjoy that. But what does delight mean? I'm sorry, what? Yes. Find joy in it. What else? Yes. Good. Find joy, take pleasure, great pleasure. Any other words that come to you? Good. Enthusiastic enjoyment. Those are excellent answers, all of them. Yes, it's satisfied. That's the other word I think of. It's just total satisfaction. You put those together, and that's an excellent description or definition of the word delight. To do all of that to the point of expressing joy, that is delighting. Now let's go back to the verse for a minute. Delight yourself in the Lord. Total satisfaction, enthusiastic enjoyment, to take pleasure in, to find joy in, okay? Some of you are familiar with John Piper's signature statement. It's a rich one. And if you know it, just say it with me. He says, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him. Many of us have been taught, though, at least in my generation, we were taught that duty, not delight, was the way to glorify God. But then I don't think I realized that delight is my duty. My duty before God is to delight myself in the Lord. Being satisfied in God is not some optional add-on in our Christian duty. It's the most basic demand of all. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. And it's not a suggestion. It is a command. It doesn't say, and I think I translated it this way a lot of times. It doesn't say, delight yourself in the Lord if you want him to give you the desires of your heart. I remember at times being told by somebody, okay, well, if that is a real desire of your heart, then make sure you're delighting yourself in the Lord. It's like, do that and then you... No, it doesn't work that way. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. Period. That's what we do. The first group of verses that I've given to you on that handout, they're out of context, just isolated verses, okay? We're not going to take time to figure out the context of all of them, but I want us to look at those and just see what's necessary in order to take delight in the Lord. And what I'm going to do is just kind of break you up a little bit. If you wouldn't mind, you can talk to each other, okay? If you would do the first one, that's the Nehemiah, okay? And then if you would do the next one from Psalm 1 there, and if you'll do the next one, that third one, if you'll do the fourth verse, and then the rest of you right here, take the last one, okay? Just look those up, just again, four kind of isolated passages. But we're looking to see what's necessary to take delight in the Lord. Talk to each other, that's okay, and then decide what your answer is. Okay, let's share a little bit of our thoughts on that, okay? From Nehemiah 1:11, I heard that assigned. What did you get from Nehemiah 1:11? What's necessary to take delight in the Lord? Just speak loudly so that the group can hear you. Okay. Go ahead. So the name and fearing God's name. And that's a whole study, but we would say that that is just standing in awe of who God is. Recognizing who he is. And unless we recognize who he is and stand in awe of him and his name, even as we sang this morning, then we can't delight in him because we don't even recognize him. How about Psalm 1, 1 through 3? What did you get from that? What do you need to take delight in the Lord? Oh, yes. Meditation on God's word. What else would you say? I mean, you don't have to, but you chew on it, you internalize it, you You meditate on it. You learn it. You know it. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. As you walk with Him. And you're obeying Him and walking with Him. All that just from that one passage. How about the next one? Psalm 40, verse 8. What would you say for that? It's internalizing. Really, it's a hard thing to separate even Psalm 1 there and verses 1 through 3 from Psalm 40, verse 8, because it really is saying the same thing. It's internalizing God's Word. It's having it as who you are, being known by, having that desire to obey and follow God's Word, being the driving force of your life. Good. Anything else from anybody on this side? Any one of those. Beautiful, beautiful visual of that. He is the focus. And we know, even from Pastor Ken's message this morning, how distracting other things are. And then before we know it, it's out of focus. Okay, let's move over here, and I guess in the back, Psalm 111, verse 2. You know, you can miss it. You can go to bed at night and know that you have had blessings and that you have seen God's hand and that you know He worked, but you can go to bed at night and not be able to think of it, right? Some of us have talked about this before. You have to be a student of it. You have to be so aware. And there's a pride in God's works. That's okay. We are bragging on God and on what God has done. Very good. Okay, and then from Jeremiah. From Psalm 1, we talked about internalizing His Word, and here it's digesting it. It's that idea that if we do good, He nourishes us through it. Exactly. Even in the midst of great hardship, this was not a happy time that was written. And in the midst of great hardship, desiring God's Word more than anything else, knowing that I cannot live without it. The older we get, the more things take us to our knees, right? And we realize, I cannot be okay. I can't even act okay without it. Yes, what's at stake? Pastor Ken said this morning, you know, about servant leadership. I don't know if I can quote it at the moment. I wrote it down, but servant leadership is not so much about dominance as it is about dependence. And we just become more, we don't become more dependent, but we become more aware of our dependence, for sure. So what's necessary to take delight in the Lord, and how can you characterize someone who delights herself in the Lord? That's our million-dollar question today. How do you characterize someone who delights herself in the Lord? How do you know when you are doing that? I'm a check person, you know, and I think, okay, delight yourself in the Lord, Carolyn. How do I know when I am? Here it is, right from His Word. When He's the desire of my heart, when I take pleasure in Him, when I'm satisfied in Him, even when some other things are not in place in my life. When my source of pleasure comes from Him, from obeying Him, from doing His will, from praising Him and studying His works. when I choose the things that please Him, when I find pleasure in God Himself, I'm not there every day. But you know, I do know when I am. Let me continue my journey. And I'm going to skip 10 years, okay? We went back 11, skip 10. So 10 years after going to Clark Summit, my husband and I were settled comfortably as part of a loving, truth-seeking, giving church that I had come to love. Sound familiar? It was the sending church of more missionaries, and it was the sending church of many people into vocational ministry. Some of you were part of that church. Kim Brubaker was part of that church. Julie Yokel was part of that church. Those are precious memories. I had grown to love it there. And among other things, then my husband was asked to consider a different ministry, and this time out of the pastorate and with Evangelical Baptist Missions. And, you know, there are offers that come to you and that you just say, no, it would only take 1 minute to pray about that. There are others that you really don't even want to pray about because you think God's going to develop something in my heart if I do. And so as we began praying about it, we began asking God for His will and direction. And ladies, when this new process began, I was very tempted to respond the same way that I had responded 10 years ago. But God, in His mercy, over that 10-year period, had been teaching me to delight in Him and to choose what He chooses. If something delights God, then it should delight me as well. So, if something is God's will, how could it not be my will? How could I vote against it? Now, I had done that before, so I knew how you could do it. But I know how you can do it. But I knew I couldn't. I knew I didn't want to. If you'll look at that second group of scripture, just take a minute again, but I would like us to look at those to see now what delights God. We looked to see what it is that it's necessary in order to delight in the Lord. That would be for us. But now I want us to look at what delights God. What is it that really gives Him pleasure and satisfaction in us? Okay? So same thing, except we'll go three rows here with that first passage, okay, from 1 Samuel, and then we'll go the three rows here with that first one in Proverbs, and we'll do three rows here, okay? This group is kind of, we'll transition you to the other one. And then if you four ladies will do the last verse in Hosea. Okay, again, just go quickly and look at that one. Later I hope you'll look at all of them, but look at the one for now. What delights God? And I realize all the verses we're looking at, all nine different ones, they're all Old Testament, but there are some rich, rich principles there. Okay, we'll go ahead and we'll just share these. And again, you have them so that you can look them up and study them a little more in depth. But we're going to start with Hosea 6:6. And, ladies, what is it that delights God? Because if it delights God, and I'm delighting in Him, then the same things should delight me. Okay? Okay, Hosea 6:6. And what it does, it goes all the way to the heart, doesn't it? The ritual stuff is not enough. Not more religion. Love that lasts, it's what cuts all the way through to the heart. God said, leave the ritual sacrifices if you want to. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for loyalty, for love that lasts, for mercy, for knowledge of God, for transparency, for realness. That's what he wants from us. And our loyalty, our love that lasts, our transparency before him, that's what he wants. We're not always like that. Yes, know him all the way. Christian women, pastors' wives, we know how to act. We have even become actresses at times. And he just slices that right through. Delight in me. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be real before him. Studying the names of God, she said, how that had helped her. We know more than we need to know in order to worship. But we still have trouble worshiping. In My Utmost for His Highest, I think it's July 27th. Oswald Chambers says that the greatest competitor of my worship of the Lord is my service to him. Now that's me. I find it very easy to serve. I love to serve. So much easier for me to do that than to strip everything else away and be real before the Lord. Okay, next verse. You're probably much better than I am. But I found it easy at times to go through the motions. Not because that's all I wanted, but because that's just what I fell into at times. Sometimes we think that just a prayer, any prayer, just pray, it's enough. It's not enough. Just obey. No, it's not enough. Just go along with it. Just accept it. Just make the best of it. It's enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. And so he tells us there that he wants the prayer of the upright. Ooh. Not the external acts of worship without a right heart. Okay. Let's go to the back. The other verse from Proverbs 11:20. It's another one of those words we don't use very often. But you know when you're blameless. I know when I'm blameless. And then I know when I'm kind of blameless. I'm telling you, these verses really hit me. This whole study hit me. I thought, whoa. I get a little better at this with every decade. But I wasn't making the progress I wanted. I was just maybe playing the game a little better. How about the last one, or which was the first one? 1 Samuel 15. Obedience from the heart instead of our deceptive ways. And I'm not saying that we set out to be deceptive. We don't. But because we have to be confidential, because we have to guard, because we have to be careful. And do you know what I mean? Because we have to do those things. Pretty soon we've lost track of just what it is we're giving to the Lord. We don't have to be confidential to the Lord. We don't have to guard anything from Him. But sometimes it comes with practice. Sometimes we have just more ritual sacrifice instead of transparency before Him. I wanted us to look at these things together because, ladies, I have come not just in the last few weeks, but recently to wanting more than anything else in the world. I want what God wants. And that came through during this last move. Had I written the script, we never would have left the pastorate. I miss it terribly. And yet, I can say honestly, I don't want to be there now because I know God has something else for us. Before, I found a way to say, well, I would love to be back in the pastorate, but God has not opened that door. Now, I'm going to go as far as to say to you, that's wrong thinking. If God hasn't opened that door, then I don't want to be there. Okay? That's how far we have to take this. All He really wants from me is unconditional surrender, because when I delight in Him, then I can desire or ask only what will please Him. And if what I ask for is not what He wants, then I don't want it either. It sounds very elementary, but I realized how I was walking in the middle of that road. Well, let me tell you my journey, the rest of it, up to today. Okay? Through the process of determining that going to Evangelical Baptist Missions really was God's will for us. I have learned that it's not enough to accept His will. I have to want it. I have to want it. It's not okay for me to just say, I will accept it. I'll make the most of it. I'll do what I'm supposed to. No, I have to want it. Now, that involved a lot of things for me, because if it meant leaving the role of pastor's wife, which I told you I loved, and went from being a pastor's wife to searching for a new local church where I can't even be consistently involved, will I trust God? That was the question I had to answer. I love to teach ladies Bible studies. Right now I can't. Okay, Lord. I won't just accept that. I want that life because that's what You have for me. If it means, some of them are hard, if it means leaving the ones that I love, because I left 3 adult children and 4 grandchildren in Pennsylvania when I moved 700 miles away from them. If I leave them to follow the one I love most, can I lose? No. I'm just telling you the questions I ask myself, okay? I said, Lord, am I more satisfied with Your gifts or with Your glory? Which one gives me greater pleasure? The gifts You give me or Your glory? And then I had to ask him, do I want your blessings more than I want you? Or can I trust the Lord with joy, even if the decision is not what I thought it would be? Now, I have learned, and I mean, please, I'm standing up here. This is rather new for me. I have learned that God wants me to be glad. He wants me to be satisfied. He wants me to be joyful. He wants me to take pleasure in where we are and what we're doing. I don't need to make the best of His will. I want His will. I long for His will. Ladies, I have to have His will. Psalm 73:25. Just write that down, okay? In fact, let's just turn there. We have different versions, and that's okay. Psalm 73:25. Says, there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Now, I want to add about, you know, five buts to that. Except. The English Standard says, whom have I in heaven but you, and there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Wow. Nothing comes out ahead. Nothing. This whole concept really broke me one day. When I thought, Lord, no, I don't want to just accept what you have. I want this as much as you do. And my response in a prayer to him was, oh Lord, you know. You know it all. You know what I think I want and you know what I think I don't want. You know all of my good reasons and my right motives of love and care and attachment. You know the people who need me. Right? The people I don't want to leave. Lord, you know all of that. But the bottom line is this. If what I want is not what you want, then I don't want it either. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that it's not enough to be willing to obey. And ladies, I stand here today saying that to you. It is not enough to be willing to obey. It's not enough to be willing to accept your will. Instead, the only thing that will please you is for me to want your will. To want to do your will, to want your will in every area of my life, to not be able to be satisfied unless I get to do whatever you want me to do. Do you get to be a pastor's wife? Do you get to serve on staff at a church? Do you get to be a mom? Do you get to do that? If that's what God has for you, then don't be satisfied unless you get to do it. If He allows you to serve in a place where He has called you, like Zambia, like anywhere in Africa, like anywhere in the world, like anywhere in Michigan, if He has called you to do that, don't be satisfied unless you get to do it. Ladies, I look forward to the rest of today and tomorrow together with you. Please understand that I don't have all this together. God is growing me. In the last several months, I prepared a house to sell it, and sold it. Bought a house. Packed all of my belongings. Finished and graduated from grad school. Stood as a bridesmaid in my mother's wedding. Hosted my daughter's wedding from 700 miles away after we had moved. Left three of my children and all of my grandchildren. Said goodbye to the home and the church family and the friends whom I had come to treasure. And I moved to an unknown place to do an unknown job. And I still don't know how to do it. But in the midst of all of this, my life is not out of control. It's really amazing. My emotions are not out of control, and my feelings aren't out of control. And I'm continuing to learn that I delight myself as I delight myself in the Lord. He gives to me the contentment and the peace that really are what I want most. Right? I don't only have three children. I have a fourth. She lives overseas. So our moving did not influence her life as much as it did the others. I can't even say I want to live closer to my children, because as much as I would love that, that isn't the assignment God has given to us. And so, no, I don't. I want to live where God has put us. And I want to do what He's given us to do. And there are a lot of perks that come with it, and I miss my kids terribly. But I just want to say to you, I think for too long I have accepted God's will without knowing that I couldn't live without it. I had to have it. And God could give me many things and take away the peace and the contentment that in the end are what I really want more. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord. Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. Delight yourself in Him. Find all of your satisfaction and your pleasure and your joy and the enthusiastic embracing of all of that. And He will give you the desires of your heart, which are peace and contentment and growing relationship with Him, and joy in His assignment. And it is precious. We have a few minutes left, and I just want to give you opportunity for some comments about that. I don't know most of you. I recognize some of you. Some of you, we've had retreats, and we've had conversations before, and been with you, but how do you personalize that now? I can't apply it to your lives. Yes, it was a process, although it came kind of all of a sudden too. I think it's something I had been thinking about, but I didn't realize how it would all come together. It actually came together while I was studying 1 Peter. And the whole idea of realizing that I had to have His will. And without having what God wanted for me, I would be empty. And I could ask for all these other things, ministry included. I could ask for a church and for ministry and you know, for ladies to mentor. I mean, I could do all of that. And it would be empty if it were not what God had put in front of me and wanted for me. And it was just, I mean, there was a day and a time and a chair where it happened. But yet, there was a lot that led up to it too. Because Sharon said, you know, I'm a purposeful person, I'm in very intentional, okay, but it has to make sense to me, you know, and I have to work through it. And I go through the process and I ask all the questions and I am submissive when it comes right down to it. You know, I won't deliberately disobey. So, Lord, you know, okay. I mean, yeah, if this is what you want, okay, this looks crummy to me, but I will do it. You know I will not. You know I will not say no to you. But it had not occurred to me that that wasn't okay and wanted. And it really comes back to where our focus is at the moment, right? Because as we're focusing that in and looking at the Lord and focusing on Him, there's great delight. And then when He's out of focus, and the other things that I was hoping would be included in the package are more in focus, then that's when the struggle for delight comes. That will be the test, won't it? That is the goal. And that's the assignment. It's not just the goal. That's my assignment. It really is. That's what God has given to me. When I realize that, delight yourself in the Lord. You, delight. Find your greatest satisfaction and pleasure and enthusiastic embracement in the Lord. It's a command. Wow. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful freedom, too. To say, I want what He wants. I can't live without what He wants. I want that more than anything. I have to have it.
When you have it, when you pray for it for your children,
yes. Thank you. Ladies, thank you for what you've added, because those are such important points to that. Our time's about up, but I thought, okay.
Okay, if there's nothing wrong with missing people.
Oh, no, and I don't mean to minimize that.
Even said, you know, I want to come to you, but I can't.
I will continue to cry. Oh, yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with longing to be mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. Just the fire shall make it your focus.
Right.
Where you're going to end up, no matter what.
Ladies, thank you. We'll have another session, I think, in a half an hour, and I look forward to that one as well. Thank you.
You'll